1-41-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a busy weekend across Scottish football. Celtic beat Rangers on penalties to progress in the Scottish Cup, but the post-match chaos is dominating the headlines. St Mirren await in the semis with Falkirk and Dunfermline in the other match, and is Motherwell's title charge over before it begins after defeat at Dens Park? Well, Motherwell midfielder Andy Halliday is here and alongside him is Roger Hannah.
Well, we should be here on a Monday night congratulating Celtic and St Mirren, Falkirk and Dunfermline for reaching the Scottish Cup semi-finals. We should be congratulating Dundee for beating a very good Motherwell side. And if they win the derby at the weekend, they go seventh in the Premiership. Unfortunately though, Gordon, we will be discussing events that took place after the final whistle at Hampden yesterday. Disgraceful scenes that have shamed Scottish football again. And you just wonder what the ramifications will bring. Police Scotland this afternoon saying there will never again be a 7,500 away allocation at these fixtures. And you wonder what it means for Rangers going to Celtic Park after the top six split in terms of ticketing arrangements.
I'll offer my quick protest against Roger Hannah's assertion that the whole of Scottish football is somehow reflected on badly by this. But we'll get to that later on, Andy Halliday.
It does to other people. I know the point you make. It's nothing to do with Motherwell or Stranraer or Raith Rovers or Ayr United.
Correct.
But looking abroad, you know, looking down, when I speak to colleagues at The Sun in London, they say, oh, it's not a great look for Scottish football, that is it. So people outside our little bubble look upon it as shameful for Scottish football.
Yeah, and I've sat on this chair championing for the return of the full allocation for both sides. And you can look at that as almost a trial, if you will, for it being the Scottish Cup. But that is it, no more, and deservedly so. I think the governing bodies have to clamp down and out the most harshest possible penalties to fan bases, to individuals. But I will caveat by Roger, and I will congratulate Dunfermline, I will congratulate Falkirk, I will congratulate St Mirren and Dundee. And a four semi-finalists are secure, but unfortunately that's not going to be the main talking point for tonight.
Well, that is up to you. 01419511025. Get in touch, let us know what you are thinking. Of course, those post-match scenes are widely discussed, but there has to be a bit of room between now and 8 o'clock for some football chat, surely, because it was a big outcome. It wasn't a classic game, but it was a big outcome. Celtic winning on penalties, Celtic keeping their hopes alive of silverware in the Scottish Cup. We don't quite know what the league will look like. As for you Rangers fans, though, what are your prospects now? Third place, can you make the title charge? Because if not, it will be a trophyless season. How would that reflect on Danny Rule and everyone involved? If you want to wax lyrical about Dunfermline or about Falkirk or any of those things, we're here for those as well. 01419511025. And anything else you think we've missed, fire us a call quickly as you can or tweet us at ClydeSSB. Roger Hannah's had his say. Let's do a kind of light-hearted look at the weekend first before we get stuck in. What was your result of the weekend, Andy?
My result goes to Dunfermline. I watched the game. I thought they were absolutely fantastic. I think the sad thing for Aberdeen is a lot of people seen it coming, but not to that extent. It was a 3-0 and it was going on even more than that. It was an absolute drubbing, but fair play to Dunfermline. They will thoroughly deserved it.
I'm sorry, boys, but I'm going to have to go for Dundee. Motherwell, I agree. You know, we're on the fringes of a title fight, and for that to be happening at the start of March is phenomenal. James Bertolascu has done a phenomenal job. And it just sort of came unstuck a little bit against an on-form Dundee team.
Your goal of the weekend was?
Well, I can fit in some positivity for Motherwell this weekend. I'm going to go Callum Slattery, what a goal, 30 yards out, free kick. John McCracken was in inspired form, it must be said, over the course of the 90 minutes, so it would have took a special one to get past him, and it was a great free kick for Callum Slattery.
On the telly last night, I'll go for Partick Thistle's Ben Stanway for the goal. Not quite enough for the Jags to get back into that quarter final at St Mirren, but I think that puts him into double figures for the season. He's out of contract. Somebody will get him in the summer. Somebody will lure him away from Firhill. And when he does his initiation song at his new club, he's going to have to do American Pie, because Andy Halliday takes the mickey out of my knock three times. This boy is terrific.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. What about your Does that leave us with Howler? Are we down Howler already?
Wherever you want to go.
Howler.
Well, I'm going to go for Emmanuel Fernandes, and it wasn't for his performance, because I thought on the day, I thought he was absolutely exceptional, but I've never understood players celebrating to that extent knowing the goal's going to get ruled out. He must have knew that the ball hit his arm, or his hand, shall I say, and he must have knew that the goal wasn't going to stand. So the exuberance of his celebrations, I think, were just a wee bit too much, knowing that that's not going to count.
I think especially if you slap it literally into the net, you must have a bit of a sense of
this. I mean, there was two handball infringements within it. It was never going to stand, so first, just tail back the celebrations a touch.
It's the first celebration Howler we've had since you at Hampden last season, so it's good to bring that back. And you, Roger Hannett?
I'm going to go for the penalty award for St Mirren that put my head against Thistle last night. Robbie Crawford penalised by referee David Dickinson and the VAR official. For me, the ball struck his foot and then struck his arm. I'm not even sure the arm was really at an extended angle. I pondered giving it my howler, but then I just had to when I read Mark Wilson's post-match quotes. I thought Mark Wilson was your mate. I really had all these shows, all the years he's been in this show, and he said, and I quote, "We have a VAR review show," which is proving absolutely useless. It just pinpoints mistakes. Just get things right the first time. It's not that hard.
A wee bit emotional, wasn't he?
Oh, he's called its wrong name.
I know. What's it called again?
The Wally Show.
I thought he was a wee bit emotional from him. Not like him. Starting to crack under the pressure, maybe.
That's what people in the tabloid newspapers call a ferocious outburst.
Head loss. Other people call it.
The kids be aggrieved.
The kids call it head loss.
Quite agree with you, Roger.
I've not seen him lose the head that much since day 12 of the trip to Germany a couple of years ago.
Back into that hotel when they were in the bunk beds with the Dazzler.
Unbelievable. Anyway, 01419511025. Have you done your top performers yet? No, you've not.
Mine's might be a wee bit of a surprise one. He didn't even get in Rogers' team of the week, given he only played, I think it was 60-70 minutes. But I'm going to go for Dane Murray. Reason being, he's had a couple of high profile errors this season. Obviously the one at Tynecastle, then the one not so long ago, just 8 days ago, in the league fixture. And I always think it's a really, really difficult game to come on as a sub, especially when you're camped at the edge of your box and you're having to defend for such a large period of time. I thought he was absolutely faultless in the time he was on the pitch. I felt a wee bit aggrieved not to start the game given his performance the week before regarding that mistake anyway, but I thought he was absolutely excellent yesterday when he was on the pitch.
Okay, let's dive in with yours. I'm getting carried away.
Very quickly,
the phone lines are very bright tonight.
It has to be Ollie Thomas in the family, 20 years of age, on loan from Bristol City. Never scored a goal for the Pars before the weekend, and a really good double against Aberdeen.
Has he not only scored one senior goal?
Yeah, I think so.
It's incredible, isn't it?
He was Antoine Semenya's boot boy or something. He took them really City well. Back
he didn't look like a guy that hadn't ever scored.
He's second especially.
Absolutely. Probably.
Looks a player.
Right, Andrew is first through tonight on the line. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, guys. How are you?
What are you thinking?
Just about calling in regards to the Celtic Rangers game of the weekend. Mm-hmm. First of all, and I think I'm going to sort of quote Andy here, and I've seen him talking to Sam North, and he said that there was ugly scenes on the park and then ugly scenes off it. First of all, I genuinely think it out with the Old Firm Derby in August. I thought it's one of the worst, in terms of quality, games of football for Celtic Rangers I've seen in years. More so from our end as Celtic, I thought we were dreadful, perfectly honest, but Martin O'Neill seems to instill this sort of grit and determination in us, which is getting us through games at the minute. But probably second to discuss the stuff that went on after the park, there seems to be this nature in Scottish football where we tie both things together as though like it's as bad as each other. But I think the scenes at the end of the game with the Celtic fans spilling onto the park, it shouldn't happen. But we see it all over. We've seen it in Scotland this season by a lot of teams. I've seen it with my team at Kilmarnock. We've seen it with other teams at late victories or emotional victories where a few fans fell onto the park. There was about 100 Celtic fans that had got themselves onto the park. Shouldn't be doing it, but it happened. But it was all joyous. It was celebrating. It was whatever was going on. They were celebrating with their own team. And then you had a spurt of Rangers fans go on the park and then realised that they weren't really getting the backing. And then all of a sudden, there was about 300-400 Rangers fans on. Celtic coaches were getting attacked, flares were getting thrown out at the Celtic end. There seems to be this nature of tying everyone in it in the same bubble, but I don't feel as though this is what happened this time. I feel as though one end took celebration and didn't enjoy it and seen it in front of their face, and that's why obviously Celtic fans have been banned for Ibrox for such a long time, and then it went chaotic, and I get the whole ego trip, and I get people being bruised, and I get it, but running onto the park to run 100 yards up to try and throw things at people and try and punch people in the face and fly kick people, it just wasn't good scenes at all. And I don't think it's a case of Scottish football. I think this is one end got far too carried away.
I don't think tonight is a night for points scoring between either side, either fan base. There were dreadful faults on both fan bases yesterday. I could start giving you a list of them from long before the kickoff yesterday, Andrew. Nobody covered themselves in glory yesterday. Today, I don't think either club has particularly covered themselves in glory, because there has been no condemnation from either Celtic or Rangers regarding the violence seen yesterday. There's been condemnation from the First Minister, from Police Scotland, from other politicians, from other fan groups, from TV and radio stations across the country. I don't want this show between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock tonight to be a Celtic supporter coming on blaming Rangers and a Rangers supporter coming on blaming Celtic. They were both to blame. There were dreadful scenes, and there are no winners in a day like that.
Yeah, just to follow on with Roger, the part I really didn't like you saying, Andrew, was you see these scenes all the time where fans spill onto the pitch and there's jubilation. It's not as if Celtic fans were just in the running track. There were Celtic fans in the centre circle. There were Celtic fans goading Rangers fans at the main stand, and there was idiotic Rangers fans that took the bait and took it way too far. No side was worse off than the other. No side was better off than the other. It was disgraceful scenes that you've seen from both sides. And like Roger says, a lot of the scenes were from people that didn't even have a ticket for the game and buzzed their way in. And like I said, the scenes from Rangers fans after as well was nothing short of disgraceful. And do you know what? I was at the game yesterday, and as much as the quality of the game was poor, when I was at the game and I was enjoying the full allocation again, it didn't feel quite as poor until I watched it back, because you felt the tension, and it was great to have both sets of fans at their full allocations again. But I tell you what, they have absolutely no excuse whatsoever when there will not be a full allocation return again, and deservedly so.
Basically, I work in an office where it's obviously a mix of Celtic and Rangers fans, and that was the first thing we said, is the atmosphere at the game yesterday was absolutely brilliant, and it was a throwback. So you probably did get distracted by the lack of quality on the park, but I think probably because I'm a Celtic fan, I noticed it more, because we were absolutely dreadful. But my interjection for this is, and it isn't point scoring at all. I started this by saying we should not be spilling onto the park. I 100% get that. And again, I've seen the scenes at the start where folk were running into the stadium without tickets or whatever. Again, that should not be happening. But what I would say is, I don't think there would be as widespread condemnation of what happened had that just been the Celtic fans spreading onto the park and then Rangers fans hadn't retaliated. I think people would have went, yeah, it was a bit daft, but we do see it happening. Had it not got to the full length of what it got to, I don't think we would be talking so much about it today. It just happened to be that it's such an emotionally charged game that did happen, and it is unfortunate. But again, I do start that by saying I don't believe we should have been spilling onto the park. I do think that obviously has caused the issue, but I don't think the scenes from what Celtic fans did to what happened afterwards is equatable.
Fair enough. Thank you very much. That was Andrew and Ballot kicking things off. Made some interesting points, which I'm sure many of you will agree with and many of you will disagree with. That's the beauty of this. Let's go with Alan, who's next up. Hi, Alan.
Good evening, panel.
Hey, Alan.
Hiya. Just to follow on the last caller, I've been on previously in the show regarding, I'm a Rangers fan, as you know, the Union Bears, the Green Brigade. They're totally out of control and the clubs pander to them. The atmosphere the Union Bears give and their tifos are absolutely this world, but the clubs pander to them. And I'll give you an example of yesterday. The Green Brigade are barred from Celtic Park, but they had a block at Ibrox yesterday. Now, they can only get their tickets through Celtic Football Club. So why are they barred from their own park, but then turn up at Ibrox yesterday? And I'm not saying it was them that caused coming onto the park or kicked in the doors that all these people got in. And finally, Police Scotland. I looked into this. Rangers and Celtic give Police Scotland £3.1 million a year to look after matches. Now, police officers aren't there to get kicked or violent, anything. What do police do nowadays? You mind, we're all old enough, you'll mind, the police used to get into the crowd, take trouble out. They just stand in corners and watch the game, and they weren't even in the park yesterday when that kicked off. So Police Scotland don't come out of this very good either. They get good money.
There's going to be a lot going on here, Roger, because we're talking about police and ultras groups and what clubs can do, stewarding levels, you know, so there's a lot. Alan's introduced, first of all, the notion of Green Brigade, Union Bears. Is it worth the hassle? Because I've always tried to kind of, you know, you always, I think we should stick up for fans, and I don't think that the ultra movement isn't going anywhere. It's not in Glasgow. It's all across Europe. But you know, this stuff is widespread. It can be a force for good. That can get young people engaged and going to football matches. They can engage with their community and so on. But tonight's not a great night to be having that type of conversation. This is about clubs tonight trying to assess, is it worth the hassle?
Yeah, that's a good phrase you use. Some of these ultra groups can be a force for good. Until the dust settles and we know the details of those responsible for the ugly scenes yesterday, I think it would be easy to point the finger of blame at the Green Brigade, or you know, the Union Bears, or whoever. I mean, we don't necessarily know it was them.
No, for sure. But you do see of it, like there's clearly a section of the Rangers fan base who come on. That's the balaclava. But you know, we can acknowledge that it's not black and white. It's not simple. But we can also have a kind of rough idea of what's heavily involved.
Listen,
surely,
listen. If it's down to me, I don't want these people involved in my club. If I owned the football club, I wouldn't want those balaclava clad people running onto my pitch, almost, you know, as if they're carrying the name of the football club. Andrew Kavanagh was in the main stand looking down in that yesterday. You caught him in some of the TV coverage. You wonder what's going through his mind. You really do wonder.
I did think that as soon as I saw him. You know, not from here. And, doesn't accept that this is just, you know, what we do.
And actually, because of that, I actually wonder if Andrew Kavanagh is seriously considering some kind of crackdown. Rangers in the past have been publicly critical of some of the actions of the Union Bears in the past. And I wonder if there's something like that coming from Rangers. There's been nothing coming from them so far. No condemnation, no comment, nothing so far, despite repeated requests.
You see, I think there is a general discussion about whether clubs pander to certain fan bases too often, whatever your feelings are on that. The only thing I would say about Alan making the point tonight is the Green Brigade are famously at war with Celtic. So I don't know if Celtic are pandering to them, but how do they get into Ibrox? Is that part of what you see when the ticketless fans, that was the first communication we had from Police Scotland yesterday.
Yeah.
Everybody saw the videos and social media of fans sort of forcing their way into to the
and
stadium.
There was a lengthy statement from Police Scotland last night. There's been another one that came out late this afternoon talking about arrests, talking about a number of officers and members of the public being injured, talking about pyrotechnics being thrown. And the one that jumped off the press release from the police for me, a 10-year-old child struck by a coin. Now, I don't know whether that was thrown by a Celtic fan, a Rangers fan, I've no idea. Whoever's throwing missiles at a game like that should hang their head in shame.
Can't believe I'm saying this, Andy, but there was worse than coins.
Yeah.
Which sounds a ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, I was at the game. I seen it all unfurl. And there was just a genuine disbelief at what you were seeing. Both sets of supporters, coins, flares, what looked like bottles. And to see, I mean, I feel as if we're speaking about this too much. And it's too easy to say that there's no place for that in football. But again, like Roger's just mentioned, a 10-year-old, like there's a 10-year-old being struck by it. And by the way, I won't mention which side because it was both sides. I'm actually watching the invasion of the pitch, shall we say. There's kids on the pitch. Like, so for me, I mean, parents parents are involved. Like, how is your kids managing to get on the pitch? It just got way, way, way too out of control.
As well, Andy, there's a quote here from Chief Superintendent. This, by the way, this is a football phone-in.
Well, I was there. I did the interviews this afternoon.
I'm about to quote a lady by the name of Chief Superintendent Emma Croft.
I interviewed her this afternoon.
Greater Glasgow Divisional Commander. It begs the question, does someone need to be critically injured or worse before this behaviour is treated with the seriousness it deserves.
Can I just say, fan base is horrendous. Has there been a statement for Rangers Celtic yet?
No.
Which
no,
is disgraceful on its own.
But on that, well, listen, we'll play the clip a bit later on, but that's the point Alan's trying to introduce. Look, people listening to this show would say we're not even football experts, never mind policing operation experts. But my natural reaction watching it, I think like a lot of people, is where are the police? Are there enough of them? So that's what came through in the interview today. And the chief superintendent, who you quote, said she was comfortable with the policing operation. She said she is unable / unwilling to use every single resource she possibly has and funnel them into a football match when, you know, when there's other things going on. That maybe comes back to resources. It's difficult for us to say, but it didn't feel like there was that police presence that you would normally get. You know, that big line that stops this happening. But she says that requires resource, that requires money, that, you know, all those types of things.
100% it does, of course it does. And why should she deploy every officer in the west of Scotland to a game of football? What happens, Gordon, if your house gets broken into on a Sunday afternoon and you phone the police and say, listen, I'm sorry, every officer in the west of Scotland is currently standing at Ibrox?
How hard is that balance, though? Because I do accept that, and that was her point, was saying, Why should we have to? What if you do have to, though? And then you hope that you can work towards a situation in the future.
If you do have to, you just say, this isn't worth it.
Well, and that's essentially what's going to happen going forward.
This is not worth it.
How did it get the go-ahead for this time?
It got the go-ahead through the SFA, who were very quick to condemn the violence, as they should have been, and fair play to the SFA. They're the only ones who have put a statement out so far. I was expecting more today from the SFA. I was expecting explanations as to why the 7,500, it just seemed to be, yeah, you can have it. Yeah, there you are.
But we now all been very clever after the event to say that shouldn't have been allowed. Everybody celebrated it. You know, we've got to be honest about that.
Yeah. I said that at the top of the show. I've been championed for it, if anything.
Well, listen.
I don't recall many people in the last couple of weeks saying, no, I don't think this is a good idea.
There's been a breakdown somewhere, Gordon. The point I'm trying to reach is, if you're doing that, you need to be doing that and making sure that the police and the authorities are able to manage that number in the stadium. The police have deployed people recently. There was a while there was no away fans, as you know, and then they've sort of bled them back in this season with a few. Is it 2,500 that go to Celtic Park, maybe 2,000 or 1,700 or something that come to Ibrox? There's been enough police to cope with that. There weren't enough police yesterday to cope with the 7,500. Where did that all break down? You know what I mean?
Good question. Right, let's take a break. Thank you to Alan, and we'll speak more when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear a bit from, don't say this very often, Police Scotland on the show. This was their response today after everything that happened at Ibrox.
So yesterday, from my point of view, was actually a very frustrating day. A lot of planning went into that. What we saw ultimately was some fans who took it too far yesterday. We saw the incidents prior to the match, and we saw some activity during the match. My view was we responded as quickly and as appropriately as we possibly could at the time. We are dealing with threat and risk in many areas of the stadium, inside and out. With, I appreciate the public will look and say, well, that wasn't quick enough, but it's a club operation that we're supporting. So it was a joint response at that point. Very difficult to respond, to get on a field of play when you have a number of other people who are intent on trying to meet together to cause violence. I feel that we had enough staff given the circumstances and that flexibility. What I have endeavoured today to do is to review that moving forward in the future. Is I'm not minded to put more officers to football matches. What I think we should be looking at is how we change behaviours. It took me back several years in football, and I felt we'd moved on from there. And I think if you were asking many people, they would say similar. I think we use this as a reset, and absolutely to understand why we're in this position in 2026, where my view should be that football should be running more regularly with a lesser police involvement. But we obviously need to review that based on yesterday. No one agency can do this on their own, and I would absolutely welcome that. We have had football roundtables. We've had engagement with the Scottish Government on the back of the pyrotechnic legislation, and then how we look at changing behaviours. This, if yesterday was anything to go by, that is exactly what we need to do going forward. I would like to see better engagement with our fan base and clearer expectations as to what fans should and shouldn't be abiding by, and their behaviour should be acceptable in terms of societal norms. And when it tips over into the threshold of criminality, that can't be tolerated, and that's the bit that we need to see dealt with. I don't think it's right that I say that it's a complete ban, but what I would say is at the moment is that current setup is not sustainable and not safe.
Cameron is on the line. Hi, Cameron.
Hiya, panel. Good evening.
Hello.
I hate to turn the football show into like a political debate, but
too late.
I've seen them, your Union Bears, whatever the Celtic are called, walking through the streets, causing absolute mayhem, kicking shop windows, doors, terrorising people. The police, literally, they can't do anything. They've got to funnel them away, let them go into Ibrox, let them sing and chant. I've stood next to them. Half of them don't even watch the game. You're standing there watching this. They don't even watch the game. They come out of the game and they cause absolute chaos. They're wearing masks in their face. You can't see who they are. I'll tell you an incident that happened to me. Now, Andy's on the show, I know that, and I'm not saying. I went to my pal David, the Motherwell season ticket holder. I went to the cup final, the semi-final against St Mirren, and I was going to phone in that day, and I wish I had of. We were on the train coming back, and the Block E boys, I think they're called, come onto the train, all dressed in black, all their face masked up, come onto your carriage. Within a minute, they've smashed the bottle, and within another 10 seconds, they've pulled the chain. We're on that train for 50 minutes. The guard came in and says to me, I goes, mate, there's nothing you can do with these people. I says, look at them. They're all dressed the same. I said, I don't even know what one it was that done it. I said, if I could, I would point them out. It's getting ridiculous that it slipped. See, when I was young, and folk might laugh at this, you used to have gangs like the Bundy or whatever, or whatever they were called, the Tongs. That's what we're getting now. But I heard Roger going, you might need these people. They bring nothing to football. Absolutely nothing. They're total thugs.
I still think it must be a bit more nuanced than that, Roger. I don't think every single football fan in the country then, because if Cameron wants to bring other teams into it, every single football fan in the country who likes the noise and colour and atmosphere and whatever the ultra groups can bring is a thug. It just can't be the case. It can't be as simple as that, because nothing's as simple as that.
No, nothing is as simple as that. Well, the people in this show who claim that the atmosphere at Celtic Park isn't as good when the Green Brigade are serving their suspension. There's people who come onto the show who say the atmosphere at Ibrox wouldn't be as good without the Union Bears. But there are rogue elements within both supports, Gordon, who do nothing to enhance the reputation of their football clubs. And I think it would serve the football clubs well if they were able to weed out those rogue elements. Now, when I say that, I don't mean the Green Brigade as a group. I don't mean the Union Bears as a group. But clearly there are people intent on causing violence, causing mayhem, causing distress to other supporters and members of the public. The police have spoken about it today. The clubs have spoken about it in the past. How you deal with it, Gordon, that's a big question.
And the thing is, Andy, nothing's hidden anymore. Social media, there's videos of everything. The afternoon begins with fans in the Celtic end forcing their way in without tickets. Some of the violence, was it a Celtic fan you can see getting kicked in the head, stamped on, whatever it was after the game. The bit on the pitch took a lot of the attention yesterday, because that's the bit in front of the full view of the world, if you like, on the field. It's all always a bit more dramatic, but a lot of nonsense yesterday to wade through over and above that.
Yeah, it was, and it was horrific seeing some of the videos that you see surfacing on social media. Obviously, I was at the game, so I seen the scenes after the game, which is despicable enough. But then, like you say, is what spilled onto the streets after that, which it spilled into the city centre. So we're talking about, you know, kids being at the games. There's also kids on the streets where some of these antics are happening. And listen, Cameron, I know it's not great timing for me to be saying this, but I do think that some of the factions of these supporters do bring something. Unfortunately, some of them can't behave themselves. But, you know, to talk about the guys at Fir Park, they bring a lot of noise, they bring a lot of colour to the stadium. But for examples that you've just given there, clearly there's certain certain things you have to try and eradicate.
Thank you to Cameron. What about Tony in Steps?
Hi, Jan. Hi.
Hello, Tony. What are you thinking?
Well, actually, as usual, I'm listening to the show, and I was actually quite disgusted tonight with some of the comments regarding not being enough police, not being enough stewards, and everything else under the sun. And I think that's totally wrong. For years and years, we've been building up to get the atmosphere back into Old Firm games, to get the atmosphere back into Scottish football and get the fans back in. And the SFA, the police, the clubs, they've achieved that. They tried to do it. They tried to achieve that yesterday. And everybody's speaking about during the game how the atmosphere was good and how it was brilliant and everything else under the sun. So it wasn't the SFA, it wasn't enough, it wasn't the police, it wasn't the stewards, it wasn't the Celtic or Rangers. It was the fans that let everybody down, no one else. And by the way, it wasn't all the fans, it was a majority.
Minority.
Of fans. A minority of fans that let them down. And that's the truthful fact of the matter. And we can all make excuses up saying there wasn't enough police or anything else. There was enough police. The police succeeded in stopping the fans getting together. Yes, okay, one or two get through. But they were getting handled too because the stewards were bringing them down in the park and everything else.
I think there's only one or two, Tony. That's the thing. Because you see, I agree. I think it's very important that we point out, I mean, over the course of Scottish football this weekend, of course it was the minority. And it was certainly the minority inside Ibrox. But let's be honest, there's 50,000 fans there. So it's never going to be the majority, is it? It almost has to be the minority. But it doesn't kind of mean that it was still... that whatever that minority number was still a bit too big, was it not?
Yes, but it wasn't the SFA's fault, which people's trying to blame. It wasn't the police's fault. It wasn't the stewards' fault. It wasn't the team's fault. It was the fans' fault.
Oh, listen, there is no doubt about that. There is, of course, if you commit any crime, it is your fault. Yeah. But when you've got a large scale sporting event, it is a collaboration of a number of stakeholders and. Tony sounds... I like Tony's idealist look on things.
Yeah.
But if you've got 50,000 people, guess what? Some of them are going to be idiots. So unless there was a switch that can turn off the idiots, which there isn't, you then need it to be organised, policed and whatever, in a manner that keeps that potential danger at a minimum. Yeah. That's what people mean. I don't think Andy's saying this is all the police's fault. This is all the Scottish FA's fault. But there's a lot to analyse here.
There's a huge amount to analyse, Gordon. And I think it's important that you look back and what happened yesterday, the criminal justice system, Police Scotland are allowed to do their part of it. I think it's important that the football authorities do their part of it. I think it's hugely important the two clubs, who, as we say, have still been silent more than 24 hours after the incidents, I think it's important that they do their jobs. We can't undo the events of yesterday, but by having full-scale investigations by all the stakeholders that you talk about, Gordon, it might help ensure that we don't have to witness the scenes that we saw yesterday ever again.
Yeah, I think Tony, as part as to Police Scotland's investigation, I think a lot of things they'll be investigating, of course, as the idiots within the fan bases, but I think they'll be investigating themselves as well and how that was able to transpire. That's not me putting majority of the blame on the police, far from it, but you just have to understand that there is morons within both fan bases that will result to violence and hooliganism like we've seen yesterday. So I think part of the investigation will be how do we try and avoid this scenario ever happening.
Yeah, Tony, how do you avoid it then? Because as you said, you say don't criticise the police. So
the only way to avoid it is actually banning them. See what happened yesterday, it's all on TV. Right, yep. I've got technology, everything else. The police will search them out. Ban them. Don't get banned for a year, 2 years. Ban them for life.
I mean, they'll search some, Roger, but I don't know what the technology for seeing through balaclavas is.
Yeah, that's part of the problem as well, isn't it? And, it's you can't identify them. Even with CCTV, even with all the TV pictures, it's impossible to identify a lot of them. I think the police woman you spoke to this afternoon announced a number of arrests. Is it 9 arrests so far, Gordon?
Expects it to rise significantly.
That's the point
says.
I was going to say. So there will be people who were on the pitch at Ibrox yesterday who were maybe doing things before the game and after the game that they shouldn't have been doing, who will be getting a chap at their door in the next few days.
But you're right, Tony. Anyone that is identified should be banned for life. And then I hope that people throwing missiles are hit with even severer punishments than that.
As I said earlier, I don't think it's as black and white to like blame ultra culture or anything. I think it's way more nuanced than that. But if it's not that, is there a cultural problem though? You take out even if it's 50, if it's 100, if it's 200 individuals, do you think that solves it even? And that, even that, by the way, that would be hard to do. But even if you could, think that solves it?
I'm not sure it does. Because I mean, there was one of these in 1909, even before Hugh Keevans was around.
No, he was reporting on it, he said.
There was a riot at a Hampden semi-final between Celtic and Rangers.
Good, now I feel much better about it.
1980, there was the famous one, police horses on the pitch as fans battled. So you can look, there are societal issues at play in 2026, undoubtedly, Gordon. But, you know, I'm not sure taking 40 or 50 people out will necessarily solve those societal issues. The immediate priority for me now, it has to be to let the Criminal Justice System and Police Scotland do their work. It also has to be addressing what happens after the split in the game at Celtic Park. I think the plan at the minute, you know, the plan prior to yesterday would have been for Rangers to get something like 2,500 tickets for Celtic, similar to what Celtic had last week for the league game at Ibrox.
But how many? Are
police happy to allow that to happen?
It doesn't sound it, and I appreciate that yesterday can be a game changer. But how many times in the last few seasons have they had sent 25,000 each to Hampden? It's not like that. There has to be something specific yesterday that sets it apart from that. There's 25,000 each earlier on this season and last season. And the season before, sometimes twice a season.
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
Gordon, you would need to ask the offenders what the difference was. I genuinely don't know whether, you know, a lot of the things that you saw yesterday, not after the final whistle, but earlier in the game, whether they were pre-planned. You would like to know what the police intelligence was as well about, you know, was this game viewed by the police pre-match as being more high risk than games at Hampden, or than the previous week, or the New Year game. I just don't know.
Okay, before we go any further, let me quickly tell you about this. Clyde One. Make me a winner. Oh, Friday the 13th coming up. Could be lucky for you. £600,000 up for grabs. So text YES to 61025. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. All the rules there for this network competition as well, or call 03434 269 340. Calls all charged at your standard rate, and it is over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday, so good luck. Text YES to 61025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. Still waiting, I'm desperately waiting for an outbreak of football discussion, but maybe I'm a dreamer. We'll wait and see what happens between now and 8 o'clock. Scott is next up on the line. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how are we doing, guys? I'm not here to talk about football either.
Nah, I didn't think so.
Just a couple of things. You know, I'm sick listening to all this stuff about they're as bad as each other, the fans and things like that, and elements they are. But there's an ongoing thing with the 66 and all that with Celtic. With the Ibrox disaster, it's not just a one-off. It's actually vile, to be honest with you. And see, as for yesterday, now that's known as the biggest derby in the world, for hatred and things like that. And they fans have ran onto the park of their biggest rivals. Now Martin O'Neill and their captain, whatever, should have got up that tunnel or got their fans off the park, at least try to shield them away. They're standing taking selfies, and everything. Celtic are to blame for this. 100%. I'm not making excuses for MDLs coming on, but sometimes Celtic are going to have to stop being the victim club and stand up and take a wee bit of responsibility for what they do. Now, I'm not just talking about football here. Now, you might cut me off here.
I'm not going to cut you off, but I definitely need to ask you, seriously, Scott, you think life is that simple that Celtic are 100% to blame? You apportion 0% of blame to Rangers fans for yesterday.
No, I never said that. I said they're 100% to blame to starting it. I said to you earlier on, there is a faction that are as bad as each
right,
other.
But what does that mean, though? What does that mean, right? See, if you're talking about the bit at the end of the game, you're saying starting it because they ran on the pitch. So that means that once somebody runs on the pitch, anything else that follows that is justified.
No, you're playing with words here.
I'm not. You said 100% to blame, so I'm trying to figure out what you mean.
What I'm trying to say is when you're going there, they're taunting, they're going onto the park of their biggest rivals at their home ground after winning a penalty shootout. Their manager and their captain and all their players, you've got a player there from Mexico that knows nothing about what it's like here, by the way, swinging for bars and all that. No, I'm sorry, they're inciting a riot is exactly what they're doing. Let's call it for what it is here. They're always the victim, this club. Always. Never take any responsibility for what they've done. Now, for years, I've seen it on here with Hugh Keevans as well. For years on here, we stood and we spoke about Rangers when the legal battles was going. Every time somebody mentions Celtic legal battles, by the way, they get cut off. Now,
you're not getting cut off. That's an absolute myth. You're still very much on the phone. Any other myths that you want to try and peddle?
Well, I'm not.
You are, Scott, because you're saying things that don't make sense and you're then presenting things as truth that aren't truth.
Well, the 66, the Ibrox disaster thing, that is the only... See if that happened in Liverpool Stadium, about Anfield or whatever, about the Hillsborough disaster, where we fans doing
that. But Scott, see that there? See that there? That is the real problem. And this is where the whataboutery kicks in. So what, you want us to condemn that and say nothing about the songs that were being sung very, very loudly yesterday as well? That's the issue everybody's got.
To you, both sides are as bad as each other with sectarianism and singing and things like that.
But Celtic were 100% to blame for what happened on the pitch after the game.
With what happened on the pitch, Celtic fans were 100% to blame. If they stayed on the pitch, there was nobody else coming onto the pitch.
I don't think anybody is 100% to blame.
Obviously not.
Scott's first point about what's now been, I think it's now three derbies where the Ibrox disaster has been mocked. I heard Ali McCoist on another radio station this morning describing it as just pure bitterness and sickness of the mind. People, you know, the criminal justice system will come and get these people, and they're looking for them just now. Emma Croft, Police Scotland, said so this afternoon. You know, there have been issues down south. Manchester United pursuing people, the Manchester Police, I should say, pursuing people who mocked events like the Munich Air disaster. It's horrible. But that's the point, Gordon, is a sectarian singing.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think, as I said to the first caller, Andrew, tonight's not about point scoring.
That's exactly the point I'm trying to make. Because you mentioned down south or whatever. What that shows you is, right, there are a section of football fans who want to turn up and say the most offensive thing they can, cause the most hurt and upset that they possibly can in that moment to the people on the other side. But if anybody involved in running Rangers thinks like Scott and thinks that was 100% Celtic's problem, we will never get anywhere near to the bottom of it.
No, and it's exactly what I said to Andrew as well, the first caller. I seen Rangers fans chuck flares. I seen Rangers fan throw objects. I seen a Rangers fan break through and strike an opposition
but
fan.
But that's okay because Celtic ran on the park first.
And exactly what I was going to say. That does not under any circumstance justify what we've seen previous with Celtic fans being on the pitch. Both are as bad as each other, and like I says, I hope that the culprits are caught, and I hope, like I says, that we never see scenes like that again. And for me, to not see scenes like that again, I've been championing for that away allocation to get back to its full capacity. I thought the atmosphere, for the most part, other than obviously choice songs that we need to eradicate as well, was good to see it back. But I think for me, that's the last you'll ever see it again.
Time for us to pause. Surely there's always room, is there not, for a wee bit of fun on Beat the Pundit? Can we do that? Are we still allowed?
Yeah.
After yesterday, you two have got a reputation.
Take my questions, is it?
I've not looked yet. I don't know if they're themed around yesterday. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on, Beat the Pundit time. What's up with you? Why are you pointing at me?
Your coin.
Uh-huh.
Red in one side, blue in the
You're
other.
Not going to tell me it was chucked.
No. You know, Don Robertson yesterday had a coin to decide what end the penalties went to. That was blue in one side and green in the other.
Makes perfect sense to me. 01419511025. If you want to get involved, please play now, but calls in before 7.
You are are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are still here. They didn't run away during the break. Mm-hmm. They are keen to talk about football just a little bit, if we could, between now and 8 o'clock. But I do respect there are big things happening and lots of opinions to be had. Let's at least, there's nothing that would knock Beat the Pundit off the agenda, surely. So let's do that.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time from Monday night. Let's see how we get on. I can't even remember. I take it the form's good between you two. Oh, you went for the 10, no, you went for the 10 last week and lost it on an Ollie Murs question.
Yeah.
What was that again?
Disgrace.
Which X Factor contestant appeared?
X Factor runner up?
Celtic Park or something?
Yeah, 2010.
Do you know what's funny? I got quite a few DMs on Instagram saying, by the way, I remember, I could have told Roger that. I remember I was at Celtic Park that day when Ollie Murs apparently came on. There you go.
There anyway, we are.
Somebody is going to try and take on one of these two Johnnies in Edinburgh. How are you, Johnny?
Yeah, I'm good, Gordon. Thank you.
What are you thinking tonight?
Ugh, I've been put up to this with my son. He's been asking me to call in for...
Have you? What's your son's name?
Ellis. He's in the car with me.
Hello, Ellis. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Is your dad good at this stuff?
I would say so, aye.
If he loses, though, you won't talk to him for a week?
Yeah,
100%.
100%. If he loses, you come on next Monday night, Ellis.
Ellis, you've put him up to it on the most difficult night. Was that deliberate, or...?
Nah.
Tell him to phone on a Tuesday, for goodness sake. Listen, let's wait and see how it goes. The blue side of the coin will be Andy Halliday. The red side will be Roger Hanna. Let's see what we've got for a Monday night. It is blue for Andy Halliday up against Johnny. Maybe get an assist or two from Ellis along the way. So we'll give Andy something else to listen to nice and loud so that he can't hear us. And Johnny, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and just pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No problem.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Tony Watt and which other Celtic player scored against Barcelona in 2012?
Victor Wanyama.
Who was the last Rangers manager to beat Celtic in the Scottish Cup?
Walter Smith.
Name the oldest outfield player in the last Scotland squad.
Kenny McLean.
Who are the only Premiership team with multiple players over 10 league goals?
Celtic.
Which player played in more Old Firm games, James Forrest or James Tavernier?
James Forrest.
Who managed Hibs when they were relegated to the Championship in 2014?
Alan McLeish.
Okay, let's bring back Andy Halliday. Can you hear us? Got
yes.
us now.
What a song,
by what are you chuckling at?
I thought he was still in the middle of Starship there.
What a song.
30 seconds, same set of questions. Your time starts now. Tony Watt and which other Celtic player scored against Barcelona in 2012?
Wanyama.
Who was the last Rangers manager to beat Celtic in the Scottish Cup?
Come on.
Who was the oldest outfield player in the last Scotland squad?
Kenny McLean.
Who's the only Premiership team with multiple players on over 10 league goals?
Hearts.
Which player has played in more Old Firm games, James Forrest or James Tavernier?
Forrest.
Who managed Hibs when they were relegated to the Championship in 2014?
Pat Fenlon.
Was it 14 or 15? That's why I kept stalling
13,
that.
14, no.
Was it 2014? I just always 13, had it in my head 2015. Don't know why.
I actually can't remember.
Yeah, 13, 14 because 14, 15, they never went up. Aye.
Anyway.
13, 14.
It wasn't just... No okay.
case. Aye, where's that?
Don't know.
I just went... I remember going holiday the next day after the first leg. That's all. And I remember just...
13, 14, they got relegated.
Why are we worrying about that too much? It doesn't ruin the question. Who scored alongside Tony Watt that night in 2012? It was Victor Wanyama. So you both got it. You're off to a good start. 1-1. The last Rangers manager to beat Celtic in the Scottish Cup?
Stephen Gerrard.
It was Giovanni van Bronckhorst.
Oh.
2022.
Stephen Davis and a John Joe Kenny on goal.
You both went for Kenny.
Scott Arfield.
You both went for.
I forgot about that game.
Scott Arfield and an own goal.
You both went for Kenny McLean. On the oldest outfield player in the Scotland squad, you were both wrong.
Grant Hanley.
Grant Hanley's 10 months older than Kenny McLean. 1-1. Who is the only Premiership team with multiple players on over 10 league goals? It is Hearts. Shankland on 11 and Braga on 12. It's incredible that no other team has got that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it only four players that's on more than?
I suppose
there was a season not a long ago. Your current teammate, Regan Charles Cook, when he was top scorer in the Premiership, he shared it with Giacomakis.
Yeah, 13 or something?
13 goals.
Yeah, really low.
Top scorer, yeah.
What's Masuanisi got?
16.
And Negrin one behind?
15.
Yeah. Anyway, which players played more Old Firm games? You both went in straight away. Two footed, James Forrest. It's James Tavernier.
Wow. Really? I wouldn't get that.
It is apparently 45-37. That's incredible.
It is. Surprised at that.
And who managed Tibbs when they were relegated to the Championship? Terry Butcher.
Yeah,
don't remember that now.
Nah.
Just that's because they a less.
What was the question?
Who managed Tibbs when they were relegated to the Championship?
Oh, sorry.
A lesson to all the teams who think they're safe, Roger. They were the seventh. They just missed out in the split just dropped.
Last day before the split, they were going to go into the top six, and they just missed the cut. And they just collapsed after that and get beaten in the playoffs by Hamilton.
Johnny, you should never celebrate or accept defeat. But a 2-1 against Andy Halliday, I think, tells you a couple of things, that you were close enough. And also, the questions must have been hard. A 2-1's a low-scoring affair.
No disgrace.
Oh, whoa, you started minus one. I forgot that. I forgot you started minus one. I should go to the tiebreaker.
Do you know what? I played one tiebreaker and lost.
This is incredible. Halliday could be toppled this evening.
It's a tension.
Right. The question is this. I'll ask it. I'll get Andy to write his answer down, then invite you to give me your attempt, Johnny. How many games have James Tavernier and Callum McGregor played this season combined? How many games have James Tavernier and Callum McGregor played this season combined? If you could write it down, please, Andy Halliday. And if you give me your attempt, please, Johnny.
I'll say 73.
Okay, Andy Halliday says 89.
Oh.
And that annoys you. What is it? You think you've got it wrong, Andy?
Yeah.
Why? Okay. That noise you hear is my heart breaking, because it is 92. Andy Halliday's only three away. You couldn't have come much. Johnny, not many people run him that close.
Yeah. No, I've still got some questions to answer for my boy, but I run him close.
No. How
can he be right? I'm actually trying to help you here, Johnny.
It will be
92.
Yeah,
there's only 29 league games.
I looked up Callum. I interviewed Callum McGregor last week, and funnily enough, he missed out yesterday. But the point to him was, you play against Auchinleck, you played against Stuttgart, and it's a dead rubber. He played 40, and I think he was on 46 at that point. So I'm surprised Tavernier so high though. Anyway,
wasn't it a classic, Johnny?
Well done, Andy.
Johnny,
thanks to you too.
Who's your team, Johnny?
Celtic.
Or go and indulge me for 1 minute and talk to me about the actual sort of football bit of it yesterday. I know it wasn't great, but what did you make of it?
Like you say, the game wasn't great, but delighted that Celtic obviously got the result. I don't think Rangers will get a better chance to play against as weak a Celtic team as they did yesterday, with all the injuries and that we've got at the moment. But as I said, delighted that we got into the semi-final, but performance wasn't great. Obviously no shots on target. I think it was potentially one shot, one attempt at goal. So obviously the stats weren't great, but it's about getting into the next round, and that's what we've done. So happy with that.
It's 7:10. Any you want to discuss the football match? You don't have to. Don't let me pressure you.
It was terrible. Listen, the most important thing in cup competitions is to get through to the next round, and Celtic done that. But it's arguably the poorest Celtic performance I've ever seen at Ibrox, and that's more a damning on Rangers, because Rangers never won it. So for all the territory and control that Rangers had, I mean, for the most part it was played in Celtic's half, I don't think they've really scored at any point. Sinna Salo, who I thought played very well, I can't actually really remember him making a save over the course of 120 minutes. And listen, for all it's Celtic never performed on the day, the most important factor for them is they're in the semi-final.
Johnny hit the nail on the head. It's a Celtic team yesterday for various reasons. We know Schmeichel, Johnson or Carter Vickers, no Tierney, McGregor or Engels, no Jota. Rangers would never have a better chance in a cup competition. The game was at Ibrox, it wasn't at Celtic Park or Hampden, and Rangers have blown it.
What is that saying about the kind of where this leaves Rangers, Andy? In fact, Rangers fans, I didn't obviously invite you to phone in and give me your thoughts on this as well. Don't take Andy's word for it, but if you're saying you've always felt Hearts are now big favourites for the league, and mm-hmm. Rangers aren't second or third, to state the obvious. I know they're not much different points wise from Celtic, 1 point further back. The League Cup was gone a long time ago. Well, how damaging is that exit yesterday?
Well, it means for me that they won't win a trophy this year.
So you don't think there's any chance Rangers win the league?
No, I don't know. Based on what I've watched, and they'll not win a trophy in a season where they've invested £40 million, and I refuse to believe Celtic will have as poor as the two windows that they've had this year. I don't think Celtic will also have the injury list that they've had this year. So the fact of the matter is, if they're not going to win the trophies this year, when are they going to win them? Because like I says, I actually feel, if I'm being completely honest, I think Rangers' team is actually okay. I don't think Rangers' team's as bad as what's made out, but for whatever reason, they just can't seem to go over the line. I don't think they will have better opportunities to beat Celtic back-to-back. I think if they won the league game last week, I think they're then in the contention. And then if I think they win yesterday, I think they'll probably go on to win the Scottish Cup. And the fact of the matter is, Celtic were poor in both games, and they still never managed to beat them in the two.
The 40 million's interesting. I think Rangers have spent money investing in the future. If you look at that squad, a lot of young players who will get better. But at this stage of the evolution of this team, they're not ready to win silverware. It's been proved over the last few weeks. Draw with Livy, draw with Motherwell, draw with Hibs, two draws with Celtic. They're not ready to take that extra step yet. And by the way, no slight on Danny Rule. He's improved the team markedly from when he came in October. No slight in the recruitment team. I think the January signings, with the exception of Scott Volson, who has made no impact whatsoever, the rest of them look as if they will develop, but they're just not ready to win things just now. Maybe next season.
Was it a tough watch, Johnny? Were you fearing the worst, or did actually the backs to the wall defensive job that Celtic did always kind of make you feel that you had that level of comfort? How did you feel going through it?
To be honest, just I felt as if a goal was coming for Rangers. You know, we rode our luck at times. We were under the cosh, had to defend, but I think fair play to Celtic and the way they defended, and you know, defenders throwing their cell in the way of shots and trying to stop crosses. It was, you know, there was some real character shown in the team, and that's not something that can be questioned about the Celtic team at the moment. For the quality they're not showing, they're definitely showing character in abundance, and it's pleasing as a Celtic fan to see that. You know, nobody left anything out in the pitch. Mm-hmm. They gave it.
Can they win the league, Johnny?
That's a difficult one, as you guys have touched on. We're certainly no playing great at this moment in time, so you go in 9 games, which for every, you probably need to win at least 8 of them, I would imagine. And with the form that we've shown this season, I don't know if we've won 8 games in a row at any other point in the season. Actually, I'm sitting with Ellis just now, and earlier in the season he tried to do what the Man United fan was doing with no cutting my hair for. I tell you, his hair got pretty long.
And what are you in the Hearts bit of Edinburgh?
No, we're actually in Leith.
Right, okay. You'll be mixed the feelings. Thank you very much to Johnny and Ellis on the phones there. What about that, as Johnny mentioned, the defensive performance, Andy, because it was a Celtic defence that had no Kieran Tierney. Liam Scales had to play it left back. You then, Austin Trusty comes back in after suspension. Let's be honest, there's been loads of times where his form's been criticised, but then he has these. He's clearly okay at the backs to the wall stuff, isn't he?
Yeah.
If you look at those away European games, and now this one, it did feel like Celtic's defence was about, I don't know, as comfortable as you would expect under the circumstances.
Yeah, I thought individually and collectively, I thought the goalkeeper Sinisalo and the back four, I thought, were excellent. I thought Julian Araujo was very good in the first half at nullifying Mikey Moore, who's such a big player for Rangers. But I thought, for me, I thought the big ones was Austin Trusty putting in arguably his best performance for Celtic, and then the guy who got my performer of the weekend in Dave Murray. I thought when Dave Murray came onto the pitch, I thought he was absolutely faultless. I thought Rangers resulted for all the territory to putting in aimless balls into the box, and quite literally 99 times out of 100 it was a Celtic head that was met. And then, you know, last ditch blocks, tackles, I thought Celtic defended their goal really well. Never offered much going forward, if anything, but it didn't matter because they defended that well that they took it all the way to penalties and they won it.
You kind of know where Celtic are, Roger. This has been a long old season already. they're not in a good place. They're nowhere near what they would want to be. They're nowhere near where they have been. So you just know it's not going to be swashbuckling. It's not going to be the ideal version of what the Celtic fans would want it to be. So if those circumstances are sort of set in stone, you might need to dig in, you might need to defend really well, you might need to throw your body and get yourself to penalties and then have the nerve to see that through.
I know what you mean, and I tend to agree with you, Gordon, but still, they've had four games in the road. They've won at Stuttgart, they've won at Aberdeen, and they've emerged undefeated from Ibrox.
You glanced at my screen and you were in danger, I think, of stealing Sean and Larg's thunder, so we'll quickly bring him in. Sean, you were on with that general idea, I'd imagine, with the schedule Celtic have had recently.
Yeah, it's been fantastic, to be honest. The last four games, unfortunately, we gave ourselves too much to do over in Stuttgart, but to go there and get the win, get a draw against them last week, go to Pittodrie, grind out a win up there, and then to beat them again yesterday, it was fantastic. No bad for a pensioner, is it, Martin, in the last year as a manager?
That's what they're saying here about Hugh Keevan.
Absolutely. Handed. And now we've got an even bigger game now on Saturday against probably what I would say has been the best footballing team in the league this season, Motherwell. And I think that's going to be a really tough game for us. But I think the fact we've got a full week now, no midweek games ahead, I think we'll maybe see Celtic coming to the fore now.
Is it worth bearing in mind, Andy, that schedule? Because again, against, I don't think, you know, when it's kind of running the mill league games or whatever, and no offence to the other team, Celtic have got the biggest squad and the most resources and all that stuff. So always, I don't think in those circumstances we should generally cut them too much slack. But this has been quite a grueling schedule at a time when Rangers haven't had to play those midweek games. Celtic have got those injuries. They've now picked up more with McGregor and Tierney. And again, to go back to everything we said, they're just not in a good place anyway. They're not having that brilliant season. So is it worth a wee extra bit of credit for that last four games in however many days? Somebody will correct me.
I'll not be able to catch you, unfortunately. But listen, we spoke about it, whatever it would have been now, 6-7 weeks ago, when Celtic, we knew they were getting to the playoff round of the Europa League, and then the Aberdeen gets called off, that the two games the three extra games that were going to come up was going to be in the midst of a really tough run for them, and they've came out the end of this run in a lot more of a promising position than they started in. And I think, in particular, you have to say the last two, because I think they were favourites, obviously, against Aberdeen, and I think the second leg against Stuttgart was a fantastic result for them, but ultimately they went out of the competition. But over the two games against Rangers, for me, I think Rangers were big favourites going into them, in games where Rangers haven't been favourites against Celtic for a long period of time. And to come out of the back of it with, you know, the draw in the league, I think, I didn't think it was a great draw for either side, but certainly a better point for Celtic given how the first half went. But in the context of yesterday, it's huge, because when you look at top of the table, Hearts not in the competition, Sean just mentioned the best footballing side in the league, Motherwell not in the competition, Hibs not in the competition, the holders Aberdeen. So to win that game yesterday, you knew that Celtic now are going to be heavily favourites to go and lift the Scottish Cup, and they deserve a lot of credit for it given the run they've been on.
10 days, I think, whether we glance at the calendar, 4 games in 10 days, all away from home, 2 against your biggest rivals and 1 in Europe.
Listen, I said before Sean came on, you know, you cannot criticise Celtic. They may be down with injuries, they may have been down with form, they may not be the swashbuckling attacking threat that they have been in previous seasons, but they can manage to eke out results, you know, under Martin Neil. And I'll be fascinated to see on Saturday. Sean's right, Celtic against Motherwell will be a fantastic game. It's actually a really good card of fixtures this weekend in the Premiership, Gordon. And I was going to, some stage, and I was going to ask Andy, it was a setback at Dens at the weekend. You've not had to respond to many setbacks this season because you quite simply haven't lost a lot of games. I think that was only about your fourth defeat in 29 league games. How do you bounce back and go to Celtic Park?
I think one of the most impressive things with Jens Bertarsko, I've said many times before, is his emotional control. Now, when you've went on the one defeat in 16, he's never got carried away, certainly in the dressing room. He's never got carried away for me when he's been talking to the media either. And after obviously a disappointing defeat against Dundee at the weekend, he's not got carried away in the negative sense either. And listen, regardless, if you win the game against Dundee, it's still going to be a really tough task going to Celtic Park anyway. Yeah.
Does it help?
Nothing's changed in that respect.
Does it help that the performance was just kind of the same? Yeah. When we overanalyze these things, you still went, you still did the same thing. You probably didn't deserve to lose the match as such, but you can lose football matches, and credit to Dundee, and they did their job well. Does that Does that help? You know, if you got there and drop an absolute stinker and everybody worries that, you know, things are heading in a different direction.
Listen, I do think it helps, but even if Motherwell did drop in, they're probably due it, because it's been 29 league fixtures where I think it's been 29 pretty good performances within it.
Sean, the Celtic gone and win the league as well, or is that still in the balance?
I think we can, there's no doubt about it. I mean, obviously you're hoping Hearts have got to drop points. I mean, we're five behind. We've got them, we're going to have them at Celtic Park. Obviously we're going to have Motherwell away, I think.
Did you fancy them on penalties?
Absolutely. So yesterday, all the Celtic players, the coaches were in a big huddle, a real connection with everybody there. They were just kind of milling about. Didn't look a real sort of togetherness there. I think you can see there is a closeness, a real bond there with the Celtic players. And for all that we've had many difficult performances this season, they've stuck together as a team. They've dug in, they've ground results out. Yep, there's been a few dodgy performances along the way. So losing to Hibs was a bit of a blow at Celtic Park.
I like that though. That's like, there was that guy, remember, it was on Twitter for a while, used to analyse the penalty shootouts and blame it all on who walked where and whose arm was round who. And I like that. Sean's looking at the body language, saying Celtic looked together before it. It was at Ibrox. Jack Butland's got an excellent penalty record.
Not in shootout.
Nah, not in shootout.
What's the deal with that?
I think that's four of the last five penalty shootouts Rangers have lost. Jack Butland's been a part of four of them, but he saved eight out of nine in real time, in normal time in the game.
He went the wrong way for all four.
How does that happen?
And Rangers, do you know what? Rangers' four penalties weren't exactly great penalties. Even the two that were scored,
could have saved the two
and Bajrami's, they could quite easily have been saved.
And that, listen, the word Danny Rowe doesn't like mentality. Character, those things will continue to be levelled at Rangers, because in the shootout they lacked character and they lacked the mentality, because as Andy says, they missed two and they nearly missed the other two.
Okay, thank you to Sean. Andy Halliday thinks that's the end of Rangers trophy hopes this season. What do you think, Rangers fans? Let us know on 01419511025 and we will speak to you next.
1419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are here. It's 01419511025. That's the number that you need. I'll quickly do this before we take another call.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Thanks to Liam in Edinburgh for sending this in after yesterday. It doesn't include own goals. Name the last 10 scorers in Old Firm Scottish Cup matches played before the semi-final stage. So the last 10 scorers, Old Firm Scottish Cup games played before the semi-final stage.
Own goals, no.
No, it doesn't include own goals.
Stephen Davis.
Yes. Came up earlier.
That was 2-1 that game, wasn't it? 2-0.
2-0.
Joe Kenny on goal.
It's not like you had a rough weekend.
I know the
Willie Show hater, Mark Wilson.
Yes, absolutely.
Jimmy Ness.
Right, let's leave it there. That's three, and we'll get back to the phones. Graham, okay. Is a Rangers fan. What did you make of yesterday, Graham?
Disappointed. I actually couldn't believe. I thought there was a problem with the statistics when I seen that Rangers had 22 shots on goal and Celtic managed one. I actually couldn't believe Celtic had come to Ibrox and parked the bus. It was quite incredible. On another day, it could have been 2, 3, 4 again. But, you know, Celtic done a job. Hats off to them. They deserve to go through. I'm just a wee bit blown away by Andy Halliday's comments that the league's done and dusted for Rangers. I'm sitting here incredible to listen to those comments.
Wow, Andy. Come on, you've blown them away. Defend yourself.
So what makes you think that Rangers will win the league, Graham?
Oh, I said they're not out of it, Andy. I didn't see there's a lot of football to be played. All I'm saying is I'm not writing them off. By all means, Hearts are the favourites to win the league, and deservedly so over the course of the season, that they've been great. But we're talking here 2 minutes ago about Celtic being in contention. When Celtic have played, basically secured two draws at Ibrox, but they're in contention and Rangers are not.
I don't think they'll win it either.
Motherwell, Hearts. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. But I mean, we can't say Celtic are in it and Rangers are not.
I don't think Celtic will win the league. Gordon asked me the question, what do you think that means for Rangers? I said, I don't think Rangers will win a trophy now this season. It's not mathematically impossible that they can't win the league. I don't think they will win the league, and I don't think Celtic will win the league.
There's a lot of football to be played, Andy. A lot of football, and I'm sure Celtic fans are they're up for it as well. They'll probably say the same thing as myself. Hearts are favourites, but there's no way a Rangers fan can say we're still not in this. The disappointment's raw from yesterday, but that was as good a performance from Rangers as I can remember with no end product. And on another day, it could have been, you know, 2, 3, 4. And you've just got to accept it's a league game. Livingston can go to Parkhead and shut the door and get through on penalties. These things happen, and we just need to suck it up.
I know Rangers had a lot of the ball and whatever, and, you know, a lot of territory, but it's got to be yesterday couldn't have been a 4-0 to Rangers, Graham. Where's that coming from?
No, I'm not saying it, you know, looking on the balance of play, but the possession, and Celtic defended absolutely resolutely, but it could have been so easily different. You basically need the possession into Ben Celtic's half in order to score goals. But hats off to Celtic.
That's what Andy was saying earlier. Is there a case to say that there's a balance there, that maybe that's actually a worry, that you have all of that territory and don't actually create that much?
We've recently had a problem with the low block. There's no doubt about it. And in one week, Chambiti scoring overhead kicks, and the next minute he couldn't hit a barn door. I think there was some choices throughout the game yesterday that you're scratching your head and saying, why wasn't Miosky brought on? Maybe leave Scott Wilson on and bring on Gassama, or even your man, the Norwegian Asgard. He seemed to be sitting on the bench, and he can play a number 10. So I think there's a few choices or a few things on both parts. The players certainly, and with the manager, that you maybe could have done some things a little bit different. But I'm not going to say anything bad to Celtic. They've had terrible injuries, and they fully deserve to go through. But you cannot give up in the league, no way.
No, listen, Graham, as I said, I was asked their opinion, what do I think that means with Rangers? And I says, I don't think they'll win a trophy this season. And I'm basing my opinion on the fact that I've watched Rangers probably the same amount of times as you. And even when they've been winning games, I haven't been overly impressed with them. It's just as simple as that. And I think a big issue they've had is creating chances from open play. So as much as, yes, they did dominate the game, yes, they did have loads of possession and loads of territory, still couldn't create chances from open play. So for me, you're now going into a period where you're playing the five best teams in the league. The difference between Rangers and Celtic against the other four teams in the split over the years has been vast. Right now it's not for me. So I think Rangers and Celtic are going to drop plenty of points when it comes to the split, which is why I think, and I've thought for a long period of time, that Hearts will win the league.
You can meet in the middle somewhere, Roger. The next, every period's been crucial, but this next couple of games for Rangers, because if Graham's one of the more optimistic Rangers fans you'll hear, which is absolutely fine, there's room for that, but clearly we can all agree it's at least in the balance here for Danny Rowland, just in terms of how negative it might get. Not to say he'd lose his job or anything, but just, we saw some of the calls after yesterday. Yes, emotions were high, but they need to at least stretch this out, give this title race a real bash.
They've stumbled at a bad time, and this is something that's been levelled at previous Rangers managers. You know, Philip Clement go into the sort of fringes of a title fight and then faded away. I remember a very bad week dropping points at Dens and Dingwall. Stephen Gerrard, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst had levelled them as well. And Danny Rowle has done, for me, a good job since he's come in. But Rangers have only won 3 of their last 9 games, Gordon. And that is a dip in form, really at the wrong time of the season. And can they get up and win the last 9? Is it 9? Is it 8? 9?
9.
9. From winning 3-9 to winning 9-9, I think is a really, really tough ask for Rangers.
Let's bring in Stephen. We'll thank Graham for his time, of course. Stephen is in Lochwinnock. It's always great, the information I get on the screen. It says Stephen out walking Doug. That's all it says. So I don't know. Stephen, is that the case? You're enjoying some fresh air?
It definitely is. I'm out walking the dogs, plural.
Right, multiple dogs.
Basically, I kind of on in the camp that I don't think Danny Rowle's the man for the job. I think basically he's let us down at every opportunity, every high game where there's been any stakes involved, apart from when it came to taking on Nancy, and I think that's kind of gave him a wee bit of breathing space. But half the league beat Nancy. And I really don't think that he's basically, his tactics are punt the ball at the park, run up after it, try and win a free kick, try and win a corner kick and let the set piece coach kind of take his duties away from him. I think he's basically been a terrible manager. The football under him is awful. I've not enjoyed one single game watching him. It's just terrible.
Quite a contrast between those two colours.
I wasn't expecting that. I mean, I know it's Wilfred Nancy. The second half at Celtic Park New Year, they were excellent. Against Hearts, from being 2-1 down at Ibrox to win 4-2, from 1-2 to 4-2, they were excellent. 50 minutes against Celtic last week, they were excellent. The trouble they have is piecing that together for 90-minute performances. And I think part of that might be down, you know, there are a lot of new signings, a lot of young signings, a lot of development players in there. I think they are improving, there's no doubt about it. And what we've found out, and this might be a positive for Rangers going forward, the last couple of weeks, I think you know where Danny Rule wants to go with a team. You know, there's no Tavernier now, it's Dujon Sterling. I actually thought they looked better yesterday with Giga and Fernandez as the two centre-halves. Romans has come in. Rangers didn't have a left-back that they owned in the building. Romans has come into that team. Chukwuani's been a reasonable addition in with Diamande and Raskin and Barron in there. As Andy says, it's the creativity. Gassama, who started brightly this season, has gone off a cliff. Scott Olsen has done nothing and won't be signed for that very large option. And we've got to the stage in the last couple of weeks. You mentioned a couple of names just even. It's become clear that the manager doesn't trust Asghar Dermoyovski to play in big games. Rangers needed goals yesterday and he didn't put on Asghar Dermoyovski. He didn't put Mayovski on the previous week against Celtic either. It's clear to me he doesn't fancy these players, and Ant-Man can't even get in the squad.
Yeah, I feel like I've praised Danny Rule as much as I've gave my honest opinion on the type of football that I watch. I don't think it's particularly that entertaining. Like I say, I think they struggle to create chances for open play. Yesterday, I don't put actually a lot of blame on Danny Rule for yesterday at all, because I think he set his team up in a way where they press Celtic, they harass Celtic, they force Celtic into loads of errors. And I actually think it was more down to individual quality for the players on the day. I thought the top end of the pitch, I thought Gassama when he came on was extremely poor. I thought Scott Olsen again flatly deceived, did pretty much nothing.
What would his end of the season have to look like for Rangers to sign a £9 million
nine game
check?
9 goals probably. Because I don't think you can say on the basis of what you've seen so far that Rangers are ready to spend £9 million.
It's a complete downgrade in Cherney from last season. Total downgrade.
Yeah. So for me, I don't actually put that much blame on Danny Rule yesterday. I just thought individual quality on the day for the team was poor.
One thing that worry as well is creativity. A lot of it's come from Mikey Moore, who will go back to Tottenham as well.
Well, I was going to say I don't put any blame on him, but the reason I stopped, because I thought his decision to take off Mikey Moore yesterday was a really strange one. I thought he was quite quiet in the first half. I thought Julian Araujo dealt with him quite well, but I thought in the second half you could see he was starting to come into the game. I thought he was Rangers' brightest spark in the final third, and I thought a decision to take him off at that point in the game was a strange one.
I completely agree with you. And also, was Giga injured when he went off?
I don't think he was injured. I don't know if it was just maybe just not playing a lot of football over recent times. I thought the back two were really good.
By that stage, you maybe keep Chermiti on, and he nearly scored from Tavernier's cross. I wondered if you take Nedeiri off and just try Mayovski. If you're not going to put Mayovski on at that stage of a home quarter final when you need a goal, when are you going to put Mayovski on? You know, they haven't paid that money for him to score a hat trick against Annan Athletic.
Nedeiri lasted 120, didn't he?
Yeah. I thought he tired. And by the way, it's not a criticism, lad. The lad's come from the third tier in German football. Like many of the players there just now, he's a development player who they've invested in for the future and is not ready to win things just now, but he might be in the future.
Was yesterday a season ender, Stephen, or can the league still be won? You don't sound too confident.
Oh, I definitely think that there's no chance Rangers are winning this league. I think Celtic will go on and win it, definitely.
Well, Hearts?
No, I think that Hearts have got to play us and Celtic still, and I don't think they'll take 6 points from those two games, knowing the importance of the two of them.
Two draws would do them.
Two of us are so bad. Two draws might do them. I agree with that one, but I still don't think that they're going to go on and win the 9 games or the other 7 games. I think Celtic are too close to them now. I think we threw it away last week. Again, and that's just another Danny Rule mistake. I think I'm bringing on Gassama and putting him on the right wing. He's clearly not a right winger. The guy, every best performance for Gassama is cutting in for the left every single time, and he still maintains and putting him out there on the right. I just don't know. He just seems to not have a clue. He's a third choice manager for a reason.
Thank you, Stephen, and Luke Winnock out walking thugs. Let's quickly check in your teaser. Thanks to our new sponsors, Arcoplan Glasgow, for this. Liam in Edinburgh sent it in, though. The last 10 scorers in Old Firm Scottish Cup matches that were played before semi-final stage.
I forgot about that.
Excludes own goals. You've got Stephen Davis, Mark Wilson, Jamie Ness.
Stephen Whittaker?
Yes.
And his boss at Ayr.
Are you
Scott
going to answer any of these?
Sorry. You were scribbling away there.
I was scribbling out my semi-final answers.
Go. We've got them fighting with each other.
Scott Brown.
Yes. You just said that.
Did you? Oh, sorry. I thought it was Stephen Whittaker.
He did. Then he said Scott Brown.
Aye. Did you go for as far back as Samaras?
No, it wasn't a cup game.
Oh, was it not? Don't know. Okay. Who else scored in the Whittaker?
Roger's desperate.
Did you?
Chris Commons.
Yes, Chris Commons. We'll get the rest of the answers when we return.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are here quickly on the teaser so we can fit more calls in. Liam in Edinburgh is asking if you can name the 10 scorers, the last 10, from Old Firm Scottish Cup games before the semi-final stage. Stephen Davis. And it doesn't, well, in fact, there weren't any at the weekend. But Stephen Davis, Mark Wilson, Brown, Whittaker, Commons, Ness.
I'm testing how far back this goes, Andy. You shoot.
No, I'm toiling. I'm not gonna lie.
Nothing else on your list?
No,
at all.
Well, one, but I'm not confident at all.
Chuck in.
De Canio.
Not as far back.
I thought it was the same game then. Malky McKay.
Not as far back.
What game? I missed the game, man.
You're missing two games.
Brian Loudrup?
No, too far back.
I get too far back again. It's a semi-final you played in, wasn't it, Andy?
It's before the semi.
Ah, that's what I mean. So it wasn't that game.
I might have played in one actually.
Further back than the games we've had.
Yes.
I'm still missing a couple.
Oh, we're missing four. Let's bring in Mark first of all. Mark is on the line. How are you, Mark?
Hi, I'm fine. Good evening, gents. How are you?
Hi, Mark.
Good. What are you thinking?
Yeah, just the same as everybody else after that crazy game yesterday. Like, you know, I've got 2 wee points, and I know you're kind of stuck for time. If I can get them across, that'd be great. The first one is, obviously, I don't know if it's been mentioned before, and I know there's a lot of limelight shown on what happened after the game, and a lot of the people are talking about that. That's the biggest thing that's going now, but I'm more looking at the game as it was played, and, you know, in about 30 odd years, I'm in my 40s, in the last 30 years I've never seen a weaker Celtic side. I've never seen a bigger opportunity for a Rangers side who had so much going their way going into that game, not to get a result against that side. You know, I'm obviously a big Celtic fan. The Rangers Celtic had, I think it was 6 games in 14 days or 15 days. You know, the squad's absolutely ripped to bits already. You've got 8 players out. Granted, a couple of them guys are maybe squad players, but majority of my first team starters. I would question that any other team in Scottish football with that many injuries wouldn't be able to do as badly as we've played. The thing that Celtic have done the last few games, I couldn't believe that they got that win for being so poor. So it's probably a testament to Martin Neil, but I also think some of the players that didn't get a lot of credit deserve a massive bit of credit yesterday for actually putting up with that. That's my first point.
I know what you mean. The Celtic, you know, you're saying they haven't seen a weaker Celtic team. There's 7 players down, as you said earlier on, but it's not been a great season for Celtic. It's not a great team. You know, there's 9 games in the league left, Mark, and you're 5 points behind Hearts. So that would indicate it's not been a classic season for Celtic. But they got through yesterday. They somehow managed, you know, their best players, Scales, Trusty, Sinny Salo, as Andy said at the top of the show, Dane Murray when he came on, Arroyo, you know, they showed resilience, they showed character, they showed determination. They've come through. And you're now in a situation again, second week in March, Celtic are the only team in the land that could win the double, with the exception of St Mirren with a cup double. And, you know, for all that Celtic have gone through this season, from Brendan Rodgers to Martin O'Neill to Wilfred Nancy to Martin O'Neill to all the changes off the field and everything, it's remarkable that Celtic are still in the frame for a double. You just wonder at the end of the season if they win a double, if the board will say, we told you so, we're going to continue with our policy.
Martin O'Neill, and they won't be, he won't be thinking everything's just brilliant and rosy, and that, you know, they can, you can just kind of keep doing this every week, surely, because you would still be looking at, yeah, it's great to win, and they did, and of course I accept that we've done all the caveats, it's all about getting through in the cup, injuries, schedule, but no shots on target in 120 minutes. Some of the January signings, and I got to the stage I felt a bit bad. Joel Mvuka was getting verging on laughter from some of our pundits when he was on the ball yesterday, which might be a bit unfair, might be deserved, you can decide. Even Chivanchira, we've seen enough, well done in the penalty shootout, seen enough from him. There's still a Celtic team way below what you'd expect performance level wise.
Yeah, it is, and we said though that they get loads of credit, and quite rightly so, for their comebacks against Dundee and it was at Livingston and then Kilmarnock. But we did say at that point in time that it's not sustainable, it has to catch up with Celtic at some point, and it did. The next week they lost to Hibs at home, but then they followed that up with a brilliant run. Again, performances within that not being great. If they can find another 10-15%, then yes, Celtic can go and win this title. Now, where I do completely agree with Mark is it's not just the eight injuries, it's the personnel that's within that. If Arthur Johnson's fit, he plays. Cameron Carter-Vickers is fit, he plays. Callum McGregor, Kieran Tierney, Jota, you know, they're missing so many key players that makes this Celtic side obviously what they are when they're in top form. But for me, you know, you look at the 6th January recruits sort of came in, I think Julian Araujo, without any shadow of a doubt, has improved his position, and I just think time's running out in terms of Oxley Chamberlain to get fit, Junior Adamu to get a run of games, and Vuka to get a run of games. So I think what we're seeing for Celtic of what they've got from now to the end of the season, will it be enough? Obviously remains to be seen.
Thank you, Mark. We're fast running out of time. We'll have to nip it in the bud there. It was always going to be one of those nights we were never going to get round all the talking points that we should have. Quickly last night though, St Mirren, are they some sort of cup specialists? They're through again. Partick Thistle did well. You both felt that wasn't a penalty. You felt Thistle were hard done by.
Yeah.
What's your thinking? Your working.
I thought it hit his foot and came up onto his hand, which, you know, the rules better than me, Gordon. Is that a sort of mitigating circumstances?
It's not an automatic mitigation, because you always take it to that extreme where. So what are you saying, that if you've got both your hands in the air,
no,
but it skips
not,
up
but,
off
but
your
Robbie
knee?
Robbie Crawford didn't.
No, but you know, see what I'm saying? I think some people have fallen into the trap of thinking it's automatic. I actually thought the biggest defence of it is it hitting his body if it doesn't hit his hand?
Very possibly,
I feel like that's
yeah.
a bigger defence of it than...
And it's the eye test as well. There was one early at Ibrox yesterday when Austin Trusty handled the ball, and you know, the hands in, and the eye test tells you it's never a penalty in a million years. When you saw that last night at the Smyzer, you thought, no, I'm not sure that's a penalty.
Hard done by the Jags.
Oh yeah, definitely for me. There's no world for me that should be a penalty kick. You know, and Willie might, you know, say in the letter of the law he does, he thinks it is, but you know, regardless of what the letter of the law is, for me that should not be a penalty kick.
Do you think it's hitting his body?
I think it's hitting his body or his face. I don't think there's any unfair advantage of when it does strike his arm. I don't even think the ball's going to end up going in the box. I think they've been extremely hard done by.
What about guests for the Willie show? Can Mark Wilson be the first guest?
Could be.
On the Willie show? That would be good.
Special appearance.
He could put his complaints straight to the man.
But then play his footage beforehand to Willie, and then he can discuss
he
it.
He can discuss it with him. That'd talking nonsense.
I'll tell you what, it was just interesting on the Trusty one. Again, definitely a good use of art, because for me, I thought straight away, oh, that's a penalty kick. No, you see the arm outstretched, but it's not actually the left arm.
It's the other arm.
And the right that's tucked in. So.
And of course, the Celtic disallowed goal. Again, that seemed... fair enough, I guess.
When I heard it was Liam Scales that was rolled out
from the front post.
Can you believe it? But I mean, Fernandez, we'll go back to him.
You know better than me. Did that Rangers set piece coach, did you just do attacking set pieces?
I must do.
Right,
must
quickly, do. A couple more in the teaser.
I don't know the
Dado Pershaw.
See if you were just to, honestly.
Oh, I said that game.
No. See if you were just to throw. There's three Celtic names here that you just.
Griffiths.
No. Dembele. More obvious. No.
Sutton, Larson, Hudson.
Yes, all of them. Which means you're missing the Rangers one from a 2-1 Celtic win in 2005 with Hudson.
Fernando
and
Rixon.
Yes. Got there in the end. Thank you to Andy Halliday and to Roger Hanna. And thank you for all your calls. Maybe tomorrow we could even crank up the stuff about what actually happens during the football matches. But you never know, maybe we'll hear from Celtic and Rangers on the off-field stuff. Or, well, it was on-field, wasn't it? That's to confuse things even further. But we'll see what tomorrow brings, and we'll tackle it at 6 o'clock. Thanks for your company.